Okay. Good afternoon. Today we move from sound absorption to sound insulation. As we have seen in the previous lesson, when the energy interacts with a wall, with a partition, some energy is transmitted through the partition, some energy is sent back to the original room, and some energy is dissipated, transformed into heat inside the wall. Now we are dealing with the transmitted energy, because the insulation property of the wall are related on how much energy pass through and reach our neighbor. We don't want to disturb people who are in the room adjacent to my one, and so we want that this wall has a good insulation, is not transmitting energy through the wall. The transmission coefficient is defined by this value T, which is the ratio between the transmitted energy and the total energy which was coming against the wall. So we want to minimize the transmitted power WT, and when a material is capable of minimizing this energy transmitted through the wall, we call this a sound insulating material. Typically, a sound insulating material is heavy, is hard, is stiff, is completely not porous, without any kind of holes or cavities or passage for the sound to go through and reach the other room. Is airtight, is waterproof, okay? The opposite we have seen for a sound absorbing material, which is usually instead soft and porous, and it has a lot of cavities, and the sound can really pass through. But for the absorption, it's not a problem to have sound passing through the wall. For the insulation, the energy passing through is our enemy. So we want to kill the transmitted energy, WT. So we have defined the transmission coefficient as the ratio between the transmitted power and the incident power. We want a number which represents the value of T in decibels. And this number is called sound reduction index. The symbol is a large R, and the mathematical definition is 10 times the logarithm of 1 over T. So it's the reciprocal of T. So when T is large, the sound reduction index is small. When T becomes very, very small, then the sound reduction index is a large number, like 40 or 50 or even 60 decibels. This is a very good insulating wall. So the quantity which people use is R, is not T. T is just on textbooks, is a mathematical definition, but in the real world, people buy materials for building wall based on the value of the sound reduction index R. The sound reduction index R change with frequency, is not constant. There is a strong dependence on frequency of the value of R. If we chart the typical spectral behavior of R, we see that this spectral behavior can be subdivided in four regions, in four frequency range, as shown here by these dotted lines. So we have a very low frequency region, a second region here with those peaks and valleys, a third region in which the sound insulation index, in Italian is called potere fonisolante, is increasing with frequency, then it falls again, and then it goes up. So we have four regions. The first region is called the rigidity region, where the quantity, the physical properties of the wall, which gives you a large value of R is its rigidity. The more rigid is the wall, the more stiff is the wall, the larger value we leave the sound insulation index, sound reduction index in this low, very low frequency region. Wanting to write some typical number for dividing this region, we could say that this low frequency region here start below 30 Hz. So as our hearing system start at 20 Hz, really this is a very small frequency range and you can substantially neglect completely its existence. It exists on some particular structure, this boundary can be higher, but for normal walls employed in buildings, this value is really very low. So this slope down, this downsloping region is negligible. The slope of this region is 6 decibel by octave. So doubling the frequency, sound reduction index drops by 6 decibel, is sloping down. Then you enter the second region. In the second range, we have the so-called resonance range or region. In this range, there are peaks and valleys. We have a valley at a frequency where the wall is resonating. When the wall is in structural resonance, in vibrational resonance, it vibrates very easily, and since it transmits easily energy through it. But between one resonance frequency, here you see the first resonance frequency, and the second resonance frequency, in between these two frequencies, there is a so-called anti-resonance. An anti-resonance is the opposite of a resonance. It's a frequency where the wall doesn't like to vibrate. It reacts strongly to an attempt to make it vibrate at such frequency. It's a frequency when the wall stays locked, doesn't move, doesn't vibrate. So at those anti-resonance frequencies, instead, you get a peak of R, a very good value of R, very good sound insulation due to an anti-resonance. So if we are lucky and our disturbance, our noise, for example, arrives over the wall at this exact frequency, the wall will behave quite well because the wall doesn't like to vibrate at the anti-resonance frequency. And we have a number of resonances, the dips of the chart, and anti-resonances, the peaks of the chart. You see here two lines. There is the continuous line and this dotted line. The dotted line here is very small. I don't know if you can read it, but there is written effetto di smorzamento, that is damping effect. If the material is damped, damped means that there is a lot of mechanical loss due to the vibration, like soft rubber or like some material which is not really eager to resonate. If you instead take steel, a nice blade of steel like a knife, and you make toing, it makes dong, it vibrates and resonates very long because there is little damping, so no mechanical energy is transformed into air. Instead, if you use a dummy knife made of rubber, a toy knife, it is made of rubber, you flex the blade of the knife, it returns at the equilibrium position without resonating. That is a damped material, and it is defined as a coefficient called the damping factor or the damping ratio, which describes the damping of a material. still have a very small value of the dumping factor, 1/1000, more or less. 10^-3 is the dumping factor of steel. But if you go to rubber, the dumping factor of rubber is 0.2, 0.3. There are even material with even higher dumping factor, like the material for road pavement, conglomerato bituminoso in Italian, I don't know in English. And this kind of material have a dumping factor of 1, so they don't vibrate at all. With this kind of material, peaks and valleys are damped. There are no very large peaks and also no very large valleys. So adding damping to a resonating structure reduces the relative amplitudes of peaks and valleys. Okay? Then there is the third region. In this region, it's called the mass region. The weight of the wall gives you sound insulation. The more mass you have in your wall, the more sound reduction index you will get. Here there is an upward sloping curve, and the slope of this line is again 6 decibel by octave. So doubling the frequency, increase by 6 decibel the sound reduction index. This is a very nice region, quite wide, because the frequency range here starts around 100 Hz with typical material employed in building, and can end up to 2,000 or even 3,000 Hz. So in this wide frequency range, the behavior of the wall is very well predictable. We have this mass law, which we will see the formula in the next slide, which can predict quite accurately how much the wall will be able to insulate. And it depends on frequency and it depends on mass. Very easy. Unfortunately, after above a certain frequency, a critical frequency, we see this large loss of insulation. This is called the coincidence region. What's happening here? The wavelength, the length of the wave in air, the wavelength, becomes the same as the wavelength of the flexural vibration in the plate, in the wall. This geometrical coupling between the wavelength in air and the wavelength inside the material of the wall make it easier for the acoustical energy to transfer to the vibration of the wall, and on the opposite side, the vibration of the wall is easily coupled with the acoustical propagation in air on the other side of the wall. The result is a significant loss of sound insulation. So there is a critical frequency where this bad phenomenon happens. And again, you see the effect of damping. Without damping, like a steel wall or like a glass wall, this effect is very evident with windows, with glazings. Glass has a low damping, normal glass. So if you use normal glass, you see a very bad fall of sound insulation around 2,500 Hz with typical thickness of the glass. And this is bad because you can hear a lot of external noise coming inside your house through the glass. If the mass law had been followed up to those high frequency, instead the sound insulation of the glass had been very good. So how can you reduce, if not remove completely, but reduce substantially this bad coincidence effect? Again, adding damping. And how can you damp a glass? Here there is a very clever solution, that is using stratified glass, security glass. You know, it is like the glass of your car. It is two layers of glass with some transparent plastic in between. And this layer of plastic gives a lot of damping to the glass. And you can very easily check if your windows are of normal glass or if it is stratified glass. Just use your key inside your pocket. You probably have keys, like the keys of the car, okay? And you just hammer gently against the wall, against the glass, against the wall, the glass of the window. If it is normal glass, you hear ting, 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 no damping. High frequency resonance, that is a bad glass for sound insulation. If it is a glass, a layered glass, a stratified glass, with the plastic in between, when you hit the glass, the sound is completely different. Instead of making ting, it makes poof. Okay? It is like if it was wood, or if it is something not vibrating. It doesn't make this metallic sound, which is typical of glass. And so, if it is stratified glass, it is not vibrating, it is not resonating, it doesn't have a strong coincidence effect, and the curve becomes this one. And this curve is not so bad compared with the theoretical behavior of the mass law. So, adding damping can be useful at very low frequency, but it can also be bad, because if you were working at this frequency where there was an anti-resonance, adding damping actually reduces the sound reduction index. So damping is not so automatically good at very low frequency. Instead, damping is definitely very good at high frequency, where it removes almost completely the coincidence effect. Okay? Now, this is the mass law. It's a very simple formula. The upper formula is the theoretical one, which you can compute solving the wave equation in the coupling between I and the material of the wall. So this is a theoretical solution based on the wave equation and give you a certain value of R. In practice, if you make the experiment with the same thickness of the same material inside a couple of coupled rooms, you get a value which is very close to the theoretical one, but is a little smaller, is 1.5 decibel worse than the theoretical value. But you just correct this numerical term at the end of the formula, and the practical equation works very well. So we have a very simple model of the behavior of the sound insulation of a wall depending on frequency, F is the frequency, and depending on sigma. Sigma is the wave per unit meter, so sigma is measured in kilograms per square meter. Is the areal density of your surface, is the weight per square meter of wall. So, of course, sigma depends on the thickness of the wall. If you double the thickness of the wall, you increase the value of sound reduction index R by 6 decibels. So R is double, either doubling the frequency or doubling the mass of the wall. So if we have, like in this example, a single wall which measures a value of R equal 30 decibels, and you double the wall, double the thickness, you have now a wall, a single wall, is still a single wall, is double thickness, still a single wall, you increase by 6 decibels the value of R. If instead you make a really two separate walls with some higher in between, now the situation is quite different. because the sound lose 30 decibels when going from the higher here, which is 1, to the higher here, which is 2, but then we lose again other 30 decibels going from this cavity here to the room here. So the total loss of decibel is 60 decibels. So doubling the wall but keeping it as a single structure gives you only 6 decibels more. Instead, making 2 completely independent walls with enough air in between make the 2 insulation value, the 2 sound reduction index value, to sum 30 plus 30. Okay? Which makes 60, which is an incredibly huge sound reduction value. You cannot hear anything through a wall with such a large value of sound reduction. What means enough air? Enough distance referring to the wavelength. If the thickness of this cavity is at least equal to the wavelength, then you get this separate effect. If there is some air gap, but the air gap is still small, like this, perché? Ma fa incazzare da morire. So there is an air cavity, but the air cavity is still small. No, it doesn't want to become the same size as the other. Yes. Can studio. No, it doesn't depend on CAM Studio, it's this stupid PowerPoint, I don't know. In any case, if the gap is small, is less than 1/4 of the wavelength, then it is like if this air in between is not there. There is no air. The two walls are still coupled, they vibrate together, because there is not enough air in between for uncoupling the vibration of the two walls. The air is like a spring, is a mass spring mass model. If the spring is too stiff, the two mass move together. There is no decoupling. They cannot vibrate independently one from the other. So it behaves like a single wall of double thickness. If instead there is enough air in between, then the two masses are coupled by a soft spring which allows the two masses to vibrate independently one from the other, so you tend to this maximum value here, which remains a dream, a limit, which cannot be exceeded. The practice is not even easy to approach, but definitely you get much more than 36 decibels. So if you have a single wall of 30 decibels, you first use a double wall and you get 36. You insert enough air in between, and if you insert enough air in between, then you get you get more than 36. You probably will not get 60. You will be, for example, 45 or 50, which still is much more than what the mass law predicts. So you can exceed the mass law behavior, provided that there is enough higher between the two walls. This is the concept. Okay? Okay. Then we look in more detail in the coincident frequency. For estimating the value of the coincident frequency, there is a formula. It's not really a formula. There is a relationship. What is this square here? I don't understand. Sorry, one moment. Sigma. What is that? No? Ma why? Boh, scusi. Just a little problem with fonts. There is some font missing. Okay. So, this table gives you two important quantities for a number of materials. Piombo is lead, acciaio is steel, calcestruzzo armato is reinforced concrete, mattone is brick, vetro is glass, perspex is perspex, cemento amianto is a bad thing you should not use in your building anymore, aluminium, masonite, lastra di gesso, gypsum board, compensato is wood, actually is plywood. Okay, for each of these material you have a first column containing FCR, which is the critical frequency for unit mass of surface, and is expressed F critical in air per square meter divided kilogram. So this value here is characteristic of each material. Depending on the value of sigma, that is the area density, the surface density of your wall, you can compute the critical frequency above which you will see the coincidence effect. How can you easily compute the weight of your wall? Here you have the weight for 1 millimeter of thickness. So, for example, with piombo, which is lead, which is very heavy, you have 11.2 kilograms every millimeter of thickness. So, if you have, like in this example, a thickness which is 10 millimeter, in this example, we are using the second material, which is steel. Steel has a weight of 8.1 kg per millimeter of thickness. If we have 10 millimeter of thickness, our wall made of a 10 millimeter layer of steel is weighing 81 kilograms per square meter. What is the coincidence frequency, the critical frequency above which you get coincidence? You get the value of the first column, FCR, and you divide it by the sigma value, which is the surface weight of your material, of your wall. So in this case, in this column, you had a critical frequency on 97,700 air per kilogram square meter. You divide by 81 and you get a coincidence frequency of 1,200 air, which is not nice because it is in the medium frequency range where it is most disturbing for speech, for example. So having a wall having the loss of insulation at this frequency is really not nice. This chart here shows you how much loss you get below the mass law theoretical behavior. And you see that changing the material, not only the frequency change as shown by this column, but also the laws change a lot. For example, we are looking here about steel. Steel is losing a lot of decibel. Here you see it is 2.5 decibel per division. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 means 14 plus 7, 17.5 decibel loss, because steel has very little damping. Other materials present not such a large loss due to higher damping. All the materials here are not large damping material. If you go to material like rubber, like polystyrene foam or similar synthetic polymers, these are much more damped. So their loss is not in the order of 10-12 decibel like for this material, but they have a loss of just 2 or 3 decibel at the coincidence frequency. Okay? And that's all for the problem of coincidence. We are not going in detail of computing the way the equation of the flexural vibration in the wall. It can be done, but it is outside the goal of this course. Okay. So now we go in measurement, experimental measurement of the sound reduction index R. The measurement is done in a special laboratory, in a laboratory which is built like in this picture. You have two rooms with the structure of the rooms completely independent. You see these are two buildings actually, one next to the other, but they stay on different foundations, and there is absolutely no structural contact point between these two rooms. So the only sound transmission possible occurs through the wall being tested. So you place your surface to be tested in this opening connecting the two rooms, and the sound is forced to pass through only this surface. There are no other paths, subsidiary paths or any kind of structural coupling which can transfer acoustical energy between the two rooms. So this is a lab specially built for doing this kind of measurement. You see that the minimum volume for this room is 100 cubic meter, so these are not small boxes, these are large rooms, okay? And you place in the first room a loudspeaker and one microphone, you place in the second room a second microphone, and you measure the two levels in the two rooms, and we define the sound insulation D simply as the difference between L1 and L2. D is not the sound reduction index R. R is defined this way, 10 times the logarithm of 1 slash t, which is not equal to d. So when you talk about sound reduction index R, you must not confuse it with sound insulation d. Sound insulation is simply the level difference between the two rooms. The sound reduction index R, instead, is the ratio between the transmitted energy and the incident energy. Why these two quantities are not the same? Because the level which is inside each room depends not only on the wall, but also on the acoustical characteristics of each of the two rooms, on the volume, on the reverberation time. Okay? So we can compute L1 and L2 in the two rooms employing the reverberant field formula. And from this information, we can relate what happens in room 2 to which is happening in room 1. In room 1, we have a sound intensity I1, which is impinging over a surface S. S is the surface of the wall under test placed here. And as this material has a transmission coefficient T, the power transmitted in the second room, this, what I am writing here is the transmitted power. What we are writing here is WT, the transmitted power. The transmitted power is the incident intensity multiplied by the surface give you the incident V0, the incident power. The first two terms give you incident power. You multiply by T and you get the transmitted power. And what happens of this transmitted power? It enters this room, creating a sound intensity I2 in this room, and this sound intensity I2 is actually being absorbed by the other walls, by all the walls. So, at the end, is being absorbed by the wall of this room, which will have an equivalent absorption area A2, which is the absorption area of the receiving room. So, if this energy balance is true, we can extract T from this formula and compute R according to the definition. We make the proper map expressing I1 with the relationship with the sound power of the source. And again, I2 with the same A, the same relationship, which is the normal sound reverberant field formula. And this is the result. The sound reduction index R is equal to the sound insulation B, which means L1 minus L2, plus a term which is 10 times the logarithm of the ratio between the surface of the wall dividing the room divided by the total absorption area of the receiving room A2. This is the formula which relates R to D. So R and D are not the same. The difference between R and D is given by these terms, which contains both the surface of the wall. The larger the surface, the smaller will be D for a given value of R. So if the two rooms are coupled through a large surface, this large surface which allow more energy to pass to the other room. If instead the two rooms are confined only through a small surface, it is easier to get good sound insulation with a material which always has the same value of R. So making the transmission area smaller improves the things. And the other thing, of course, is the absorption area of the receiving room. If the receiving room is heavily damped because there is carpet, there are paintings over the wall, there are curtains in front of the windows, there are upholstered chairs and sofas, perhaps there is a bed with all those things like cushions and so on over the bed, all those things absorb. Absorbing energy reduces the sound level in receiving room for the same power arriving from the neighboring room. So, if we think that the real thing in the real world is sound insulation, we can improve sound insulation with two tricks: reducing the area of the surface and increasing the absorption in the receiving room. But, as we will see in the next hour, here in Italy, the law doesn't require to get in your building a minimum value of B. The law in Italy asks for a minimum value of R. So, both these tricks, to reduce the area of the wall and to increase the absorption of the receiving room, are not effective here in Italy. If you buy an acoustical textbook written in any other country, you will see this recommendation to reduce the boundary area of the surface between two different properties and to make the rooms the more absorbent possible. Both these tricks don't work here in Italy because our law fix a minimum value of R instead of fixing a minimum value of D, as it is in all other countries of the world. And we will see next hour that our Italian law is quite strange. It's very different from what happens in all the other countries. So, our Italian law in reality doesn't require to perform the measurement inside a lab with perfect uncoupling of the two rooms, which are two separate buildings, and there is no lateral transmission. Instead, the Italian law gives you to make the measurement not in a lab where the flanking transmission is nothing, but to perform the measurement in the real house, in the normal building. And in a real building, all this flanking transmission is present. So if you repeat the measurement as being in the lab, and so using this formula, but you are not in the lab, the formula is wrong. It's not true that your measured value of D is related to R by this formula, because here there should be other terms which account for this lateral transmission, for this flanking transmission is called. But you don't write these terms. So you still use the wrong formula. And what you get using this wrong formula is not the true sound reduction index R, but we call it the apparent sound reduction index R first. Italian law requires to measure in situ, in the real world, in the real house, the sound reduction index, and so what you measure is actually R first, not R, and the law fixes minimum value of R first. In particular, I can anticipate you that this minimum value is 50 decibels, which is a huge value, particularly if measured in situ, not in the lab. In the lab, you can have good walls which measure more than 50 decibels. But measuring it in practice means to reduce not only the transmission through the wall, but also to reduce significantly this flanking transmission which pass all around. And in many kind of structure, particularly in Italian way of building house, blocking this flanking transmission can be a real problem. So in practice, getting a value of R first, which is better than 50 decibel, better or equal, because the Italian law allow also for reaching exactly the minimum value, getting this R first of better than 50 decibel can be really tricky and difficult. Okay. What happens in practice is that when you make your measurement in situ, you get value which are worse than the lab value by 3-5 decibel. This is the typical loss of sound reduction index you get between lab value and in situ value. But it can be even worse That is the typical value when the building is okay, it has no strong flanking transmission. There are cases where there are holes, or like in these guys with these pipes. If there is a duct connecting the two rooms, the sound enters the duct, go freely to the other room, and then radiates from the duct in the other room. With this wrong design of air system in your building, you get very bad value of R1. Not 5 decibel worse than in the lab. You can get it 20 decibel worse than in the lab. So completely not according to the Italian law, which requires this minimum value of sound reduction index, of apparent sound reduction index. Okay? Final point, and then this lesson is finished. The single number rating. We measure a different sound reduction index at every frequency, but we want a single number which represents the wall, the behavior of the wall at every frequency. So one very simple solution could be simply to average this value for getting a single number. Unfortunately, the law doesn't ask for this simple averaging. It asks for assessing with a single number the sound reduction index value, employing a reference curve. There is a standard called ISO 717, which defines the shape of this reference curve. So you start with your reference curve much higher than your measured sound reduction curve, and at step of 1 decibel, you bring down your curve. You stop this movement when you reach a very special condition. The sum of unfavorable deviation, that is when the measured curve is still below the reference curve, this is an unfavorable deviation. You sum all those differences, and when the sum of these differences becomes smaller than 32 decibels, it means that the reference curve was placed in the correct position. Okay, so you bring the curve down a step of 1 decibel, and then another decibel, and then another decibel, until this sum, which initially was very large, because now all the deviations are unfavorable, and the sum is probably 200 now. As you reduce, as you lower the curve, the sum of unfavorable deviation reduce. When it becomes smaller than 32 decibel, you arrive. At this point, you look at the value of the reference curve at the frequency of 500 Hz. And this is the weighted value of the sound reduction index, which is the single number which rates the whole spectrum. Italian law requires that this single number is better or equal than 50 decibels. Okay? So you don't need to have 50 decibel sound insulation at every frequency. What the Italian law requires is to have a weighted sound reduction index, ergo first, because it is the apparent value measured in situ, which must be better or equal than 50 decibels. Okay? And that's all for the first hour of lesson. Any questions? Okay, so we can stop.